We are talking about gratitude. We are talking about thankfulness tonight.
Estamos hablando esta noche sobre el agradecimiento, la gratitud.
So I'm going to cut straight to it. I'm going to get straight to the point and what story we're talking about, what verse we're going over.
Voy a entrar directo al punto, directo al verso, directo a la historia que vamos a hablar el día de hoy.
And the story that we're talking about involves Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 17.
Y la historia que vamos a hablar el día de hoy involucra a Jesús. Está en Lucas 17.
And this is what's unique about the story that we're going to read.
Y esto es lo que es único de la historia que vamos a leer hoy.
So the four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Los cuatro evangelios, Marcos, Juan, Lucas, Mateo.
A lot of them, they share or they recorded a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same healings.
Muchos de ellos escribieron las mismas historias, las mismas sanidades.
They're from different perspectives, different writers, right? So they give you a different piece of the story, even if it's the same story.
Son de diferentes autores, diferentes perspectivas. Entonces, ellos te dan diferentes partes, aunque sea la misma historia.
However, this story that we're going to read is only recorded by Dr. Luke, the guy who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts.
Pero esta historia solamente se encuentra dentro del libro de Lucas, donde escribió la historia Lucas y también escribió el Hechos.
So we're going to pick up the story in Luke 17, verse 11.
Entonces vamos a levantar esa historia en Lucas 17, versículo 11.
And all you need to know is Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and then this is where the story picks up.
Y todo lo que tienes que saber es que Jesús está viajando con sus discípulos y aquí es donde está la historia.
So Dr. Luke records the story as this.
Dr. Lucas dice esto en su historia.
Now on his way, referring to Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Dice Lucas 17, 11 al 19. Un día, siguiendo un viaje a Jerusalén, Jesús pasaba por Samaria y Galilea. Como estaban por entrar a un pueblo, salieron en su encuentro 10 hombres que tenían enferma la piel. Cuando se habían quedado a cierta distancia, gritaron, "Jesús, Maestro, ten misericordia de nosotros." Al verlos, les dijo, "Vayan a presentarse a los sacerdotes." Resultó que mientras iban de camino, quedaron limpios. Sigue diciendo, uno de ellos al verse ya sano, regresó alabando a Dios a grandes voces. Cayó rostro en la tierra y a los pies de Jesús y le dio las gracias, no obstante que era samaritano. ¿Acaso no quedaron limpios los 10? Preguntó Jesús. ¿Dónde están los otros 9? ¿No hubo ninguno que regresara para dar gloria a Dios excepto este extranjero? Levántate y vete, dijo al hombre, de tu fe te ha sanado.
So tonight,
esta noche,
I want to preach from the title, "Where's Your Manners?"
Quiero predicar del título, ¿dónde están tus modales?
Where's your manners?
¿Dónde están tus modales?
Right, these 9 guys that didn't remember their manners to go back to thank Jesus, the one that healed them of their leprosy.
Estos 9 hombres que no tuvieron modales para ir y darle gracias a Dios por sanarles de su lepra.
So let's go ahead and pray.
Vamos a orar.
God, help us to be grateful and remember our manners. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, so I've been here for almost 2 years. Most of you know me.
He estado aquí yo por casi 2 años. Muchos de ustedes me conocen.
And most of you know.
Y muchos saben.
That I have a fur child by the name of Osito.
Que tengo un hijo perruno que se llama Osito.
We have a picture of him. I always love showing off Osito.
Me encanta siempre enseñarles a Osito.
And we got Osito as a wedding gift to ourselves when he was just a puppy. So Osito is just over 2 years old.
Y agarramos a Osito como un regalo de boda para nosotros cuando nos casamos. Entonces es como un regalo para nosotros y tiene un poco más de 2 años.
And right off the bat, I fell in love with Osito. And I'd like to think that Osito loves me back.
Y muy rápido me enamoré de Osito y yo quiero pensar que Osito también me ama a mí.
And if you have a dog that you love, right? If you own a dog and you love that dog,
Si tú tienes un perro y te encanta, te ama ese perro.
One of the best feelings in the world is after you haven't seen that dog for maybe a few hours.
Uno de los sentimientos mejores que a lo mejor se puede sentir es a lo mejor después de que no has visto a tu perro después de muchas horas.
Walking through the door, right? And that dog is just so excited to see you, right? The tail wagging, he's jumping.
Entras por las puertas y que tu perro está muy feliz de verte, se emociona.
He's running around, right? No matter how your day was, good, bad, or in between, that dog is always happy to see you.
Está corriendo, no importa qué tan mal estuvo tu día, ese perro siempre está feliz de verte.
And the same with Osito, right? When we don't see him for a while, he is so happy to see us, jumping around, right, wagging his tail.
Y también igual con Osito, después de mucho tiempo de no verlo, él se emociona bastante, él brinca, corre.
And no matter how tired we are, right, we're always happy to see Osito. It makes us happy.
Y no importa qué tan cansados estamos, siempre estamos felices de verlo.
And so, naturally, Osito made us happy. Hopefully, we make Osito happy.
Entonces, naturalmente, Osito nos hace a nosotros felices. Ojalá nosotros hacemos feliz también a Osito.
And slowly but surely, whenever we'd come home, especially when we'd come home with fast food.
Y tras un tiempo, especialmente cuando venimos a casa con comida rápida.
We had made it a tradition to share a French fry or two with Osito.
Le hemos hecho la tradición de compartirle a Osito una papa frita.
Right, and at the beginning it was real cute, right? He loves French fries, so he'd sit, right? He'd give us paw and high five.
Al principio era algo muy bonito, le encantaba darles, nos encantaba darle las papas fritas. Él nos daba la mano, él se sentaba.
And consistently, every time if we came home with food, if we came home with fast food, we'd give Osito a French fry every time.
Y siempre cada vez que llegamos a casa con comida rápida, siempre le dábamos a Osito su papita frita.
Well, over time, as we continued to be consistent,
pues después de tiempo, mientras seguíamos haciendo esto,
Osito began to recognize the fast food bags when we'd come home. If it was McDonald's or Cane's or whatever we got, right? He would recognize, oh, those are French fries in there.
Osito empezó a reconocer las bolsas de los lugares de comida rápida. Decía McDonald's, Cane's. Él sabía que ahí había papitas fritas.
Well, this happened like a few months ago.
Y eso sucedió hace unos meses.
We came home with McDonald's, which have fries.
Llegamos a casa con McDonald's que tienen papas fritas.
And we got home, and Osito, I thought, was so excited to see me, right? And he's dancing and doing all these things, right? And he's wagging his tail. I'm like, oh, look at Osito, so cute.
Llegué a casa, yo pensé que Osito estaba tan feliz de verme. Él estaba corriendo, él estaba haciendo, me estaba haciendo círculos alrededor de mí.
So then, right, he's running around, right? And I put the bag on the table, right? And I'm like, come here, Osito. Like, I want to pet him.
Yo pongo la bolsa en la mesa y yo digo, ven, Osito, y para poder yo acariciarle.
And Osito blows right past me, puts his little head like on the table, sniffing the bag, right? I'm like, this fool doesn't even care about me, right? He just wants these fries.
Pero Osito va y corre, me pasa, se sube a la mesa y empieza a ver que está la bolsa, oliendo lo que está. Ni me presta atención a mí. Yo digo, ni me quiere a mí, quiere las papas fritas.
Right? And then it graduated beyond not even wanting me, wanting the fries. Then he wouldn't even eat his regular dog treats because he's like, why would I take that? I have fries.
Luego él comenzó a ni querer comerse sus croquetas que le dábamos como premios. Él decía, pues yo tengo papas fritas.
Then slowly, right, it graduated to if I'm eating my fries, right, Osito would come up and like paw at my like thigh saying, hey, like give me some fries.
Y después de un tiempo, Osito empezó a levantarme la mano y él empezaba a pegarme un poquito como, hey, dame papas, dame papas, dame papas.
Right, he had grown accustomed to the consistency that, hey, we're always going to give you a fry if we have fries.
Él se acostumbró a que si tenemos papas fritas, siempre le vamos a dar.
He had gotten used to the consistency of us always doing that for him.
Él se había acostumbrado a la consistencia de siempre hacerle esto.
Right? He went from being thankful maybe at first and doing sit and paw and lay down.
Él fue al principio de estar agradecido por las papas. Él se sentaba, él se acostaba y nos daba la mano.
He went from being thankful and appreciative of that to now, hey, I'm entitled to some fries. You owe me some fries.
Él estaba agradecido al principio por agarrar una papa frita y ahora nos estaba pegando diciendo, hey, yo tengo un derecho a esa papa, yo tengo derecho a ello.
He had grown accustomed to the consistency.
Él había estado tan acostumbrado a la constancia.
And us, as humans,
y nosotros como humanos,
you need to be careful.
Tenemos que tener cuidado
about taking some of the things that are consistent in your life for granted.
De tomar algunas cosas que son constantes en nuestras vidas en vano.
Because it's human nature.
Porque es naturaleza humana.
To take that which is consistent in your life to take it for granted.
De tomar aquello que es constante en nuestra vida y no estar agradecido por ello.
And after you start taking it for granted, then you start feeling like you're entitled to what is consistent.
Y después de que tú tomas esta actitud, ahora tú sientes que tú tienes un derecho a lo que es constante.
Right, it's hard for you to be grateful every day for the things that are constants in your life.
Es difícil tú estar agradecido por las cosas que son constantes en tu vida.
It's hard for you to be grateful for every meal, right? When you know you're going to eat again in a few hours.
Es difícil tú estar agradecido por tu comida cuando tú sabes que en unas horas vas a comer otra vez.
Right, it's hard for you to be. I doubt any of us actually wake up every morning and be like, God, thank you so much for, you know, raising the sun this morning.
Yo dudo que nosotros cada día nos levantamos y decimos gracias Dios por el sol que levantaste el día de hoy.
Thank you for not making it nighttime forever. None of us actually do that, right? Because we've grown used to the consistency of the sun rising and the sun setting every day.
Ninguno de nosotros hacemos eso porque nos hemos acostumbrado tanto al que el sol sale cada mañana.
We take it for granted.
Lo tomamos a la, como la nada.
But let one day, right, God just like pulls a prank on us and it's dark forever, right? Then all of a sudden we start being thankful for when we had sun.
Pero si un día Dios vamos a decir que quita el sol, la luz y es noche todo el día, ahora ya empezamos a estar agradecidos por el sol.
All of a sudden we start praying. All of a sudden we start interceding. All of a sudden we start praising God.
Ahora sí empezamos a orar. Ahora sí empezamos a alabar. Ahora sí empezamos a aclamar a Dios.
This guy, this very famous doctor, he wrote a book called Toxic Charity.
Un hombre muy famoso, un doctor famoso, él escribió un libro llamado Toxic Charity.
And he says in this book,
y él dice en este libro,
that if you give something to somebody once,
que si tú das a algo, a alguien una vez,
you're going to produce appreciation.
Vas a producir aprecio.
If you give something to someone twice,
si le das algo a alguien dos veces,
you're going to produce anticipation.
Vas a recibir anticipación.
If you give something to someone three times, you're going to produce expectation.
Si tú das algo a alguien tres veces, ahora le vas a dar expectativa.
And if you give something to someone four times, then you're going to turn them into an entitled person.
Pero si tú le das algo a alguien cuatro veces, ahora ellos sienten que tienen derecho a esa cosa.
And the main goal of our message today, the main goal of our story that we read,
y la meta de nuestra historia hoy, de este mensaje hoy,
is for you to understand the importance.
Es que tú puedas entender la importancia
of the discipline of thankfulness.
De la disciplina del agradecimiento.
Not just an attitude that comes and goes with your emotions, but the discipline of thankfulness.
No solamente una actitud que se va y viene con tus emociones, no, la disciplina del agradecimiento.
And before I start talking about how much and how well we can have an attitude of gratitude,
antes de yo hablar cómo podemos tener una actitud de gratitud,
before I tell you that there are over 400 verses in the Bible that talk about thankfulness and gratitude,
antes de yo decirte que hay más de 400 versículos en la Biblia que hablan sobre el agradecimiento,
before I tell you that the Bible says that one of the Blues Clues that Jesus is coming back is that our culture is going to be filled with ungratefulness.
Antes de decirte que una de las señales que Dios nos da en la Biblia de que viene Jesucristo pronto es que nuestra cultura estará llena de no estar agradecimiento, de desagradecimiento.
I tell you that gratefulness, that gratitude is scientifically proven to help you sleep better.
Antes de decirte que la gratitud es aprobada científicamente que te ayuda a dormir mejor.
Before I tell you that gratefulness and thankfulness are the sign of maturity.
Antes de decirte que el agradecimiento y la gratitud son una señal de tu madurez.
Before I tell you that gratefulness is your way of ushering yourself into God's presence, like Psalm 100 said.
Antes de decirte que el agradecimiento es una forma que tú puedes entrar y dar la bienvenida a la presencia de Dios, como lo dice en Salmo 100.
Before I tell you that it's not joy that makes you grateful, it's gratitude that makes you joyful.
Antes de decirte que no es el gozo que te trae agradecimiento, sino que el agradecimiento que te trae gozo.
This is something God has really been working in me. It's not, hasn't been fun.
Esto es algo que Dios ha estado trabajando en mí.
So many times I'm like, God, if I just had this and I was more joyful, then I'd be able to give you thanks for what you did for me, right?
Si yo digo, Dios, si yo tendría un corazón más alegre, yo podría entonces yo tener más gratitud para darte gracias por las cosas que yo tengo.
And God's helping me understand that you're not going to get joy first. Gratitude comes first and then joy comes later.
Dios me está ayudando a entender que no, el gozo no viene primero, el agradecimiento viene antes del gozo.
And so before we talk about gratitude, we have to talk about the opposite.
Entonces, antes de hablar del agradecimiento, tenemos que hablar de lo opuesto.
Which is the attitude or the spirit of entitlement.
Que es la actitud, el espíritu de tu sentir que tienes un derecho a algo.
Anytime you talk about thankfulness or gratitude, you have to talk about entitlement because they're connected.
Antes de tú hablar sobre el agradecimiento, tenemos que hablar sobre esta actitud de tu sentir este derecho a una cosa, vienen conectados.
Because you'll never be grateful for what you feel entitled to.
Porque nunca estarás agradecido por las cosas que tú sientes que tú tienes derecho a ellas.
You never will feel thankful for what you think you deserve.
Nunca tú tendrás agradecimiento por las cosas que tú piensas que tú mereces.
Every time, if you work in here, every time you pick up your check from work, if you do pick up a check.
Si tú trabajas aquí, cada vez que tú levantas tu cheque del trabajo, si tú lo levantas o trabajas.
You never pick up the check and are like, thank you so much, boss, right? Thank you so much, manager, blah, blah. Thank you for paying me again every 2 weeks. Thank you.
Nunca dices a tu jefe o a tu manejador, oye, gracias por tú pagarme el día de hoy, gracias por este cheque.
No, you take that check like, it's about time, another payday, right?
No, tú tomas ese cheque como que, pues, llega hasta que llegó el tiempo, porque tú sabes que ese es el día que te van a pagar.
Because in your mind, you deserve it. You are owed that compensation. I put in the work, I put in the 40 hours, I deserve that paycheck.
Porque tú sabes que tú mereces ese cheque, que tú pusiste tus 40 horas, que tú hiciste el trabajo, tú mereces ese cheque.
Same thing in your life with anything else. You're not going to be thankful for things you feel entitled to, things you feel you deserve.
Igual con tu vida, no vas a sentir tu agradecimiento por las cosas que tú te sientes como que tú tienes un derecho o mereces.
Right? Entitlement is a focused sense of pride.
Esta actitud es un enfoque en tu orgullo.
That only allows you to see what you think you deserve.
Que solamente te deja ver las cosas que tú piensas que tú mereces.
Entitlement is different from hope.
Y es diferente que la esperanza.
It's different from faith.
Es diferente que la fe.
Right? Hope and faith are like, I am expecting God to do some amazing things in this service. I am expecting because our God is a big God.
La esperanza y la fe demuestran que Dios, yo estoy esperando que tú puedas hacer cosas milagrosas y grandes en nuestro servicio porque tú eres grande.
But entitlement says, I deserve God to do some big things in my life. I deserve God to do this miracle. I deserve God to do this for this blessing. I deserve this.
Pero este sentir de un derecho es como que tú le dices, Dios, yo merezco esta sanidad. So, yo merezco esta respuesta. Yo merezco esto.
If you want to figure out in your life what you feel entitled to, if you can't identify it,
si tú quieres en tu vida identificar las cosas que tú sientes que tú tienes un derecho a ellas,
what do you feel that you deserve?
¿Qué es lo que tú sientes que tú mereces?
You feel you deserve a boyfriend, a girlfriend?
¿Sientes que tú mereces una novia, un novio, una novia?
You feel you deserve a better marriage?
¿Sientes que tú mereces un matrimonio mejor?
You feel you deserve more money?
¿Sientes que tú mereces más dinero?
You deserve to get into that school?
¿Sientes que tú mereces entrar a esa escuela?
You deserve that job or that position or that raise? What do you feel that you deserve?
Que tú mereces ese trabajo, ese aumento en tu salario. ¿Qué sientes que tú mereces?
And this is why.
Y esto es porque.
Entitled people are so miserable.
La gente con este sentir de derecho son tan miserables.
Because they constantly walk around thinking I deserve this and that and are repeatedly and perpetually let down by people because they think they deserve things.
Porque caminan la vida diciendo yo merezco esto, lo otro y siempre se sienten decepcionados por la gente y su alrededor.
Right, and so this is the discipline that we have to break.
Esta es la disciplina que tenemos que nosotros romper.
We have to break this attitude, this cycle of entitlement.
Tenemos que romper esta actitud, este ciclo de sentirnos como que tenemos un derecho.
Right, even though we went through the breakup, I'm going to give God thanks anyway.
Aunque sí fuimos por este quebrantamiento de corazón, como quiera voy a alabar a Dios.
Even though I didn't get the money for the light bill this month and now we're in the dark, I'm still going to give God thanks.
Aunque a lo mejor no tengo el dinero para poder yo pagar la luz este mes y yo voy a adorar a Dios como quiera en la oscuridad.
Even though this happened, even though I lost the job or even though I didn't get the job, I'm still going to give God thanks.
Aunque perdí el trabajo, aunque a lo mejor no agarré el trabajo, como quiera voy a darle gracias a Dios.
Even though I've been praying for restoration in my relationship with my mom, my dad, and it hasn't happened yet, I'm still going to give God thanks.
Aunque yo he orado por restauración en la relación con mis padres, como quiera yo voy a alabar a Dios.
There's a verse that I have read all my life.
Hay un verso que yo he leído toda mi vida.
Can we put that on the screen? 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
Ponemos 1 Tesalonicenses 5:16.
I have read this verse all my life. I have heard this multiple times.
He leído este versículo toda mi vida. Yo lo he escuchado múltiples veces.
And I've always wrestled with the thought of, even if bad things happen to me, I lose the job, the breakup happens, I didn't get the money, I didn't get the miracle.
Y yo siempre he lidiado con esta tensión de decir, aunque a lo mejor yo no agarre la sanidad, el milagro, el dinero, el trabajo, la novia.
How can you praise God when those things happen? How can you give thanks for God for those things? How can I thank God when I don't have any light at my house because we didn't have money?
¿Cómo puedo yo darle gracias a Dios por estas cosas? ¿Cómo puedo yo darle gracias a Dios cuando no tenía dinero para poder yo pagar mi bill?
Well, in this verse, if we can apply this, this would change your life.
En este versículo, si puedes aplicar esto, cambiará tu vida.
Paul says, rejoice always.
Pablo dice, regocíjate siempre.
Pray continually.
Oren sin cesar.
Give thanks. Thanks is what we're talking about tonight.
Den gracias en lo que estamos hablando en esta noche.
In all circumstances.
En todas circunstancias.
Not for all circumstances.
No para todas circunstancias.
I'm not thanking God for the bad things. I'm not thanking God that the lights went out. I'm thanking Him in the middle of them going out.
No le estoy dando gracias a Dios por mi circunstancia. No le estoy dando gracias a Dios porque perdí la luz. No, yo estoy dando gracias a Dios en mis circunstancias.
And I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm saying there's a difference between thanking God for something and thanking God in the middle of something.
Hay una diferencia entre darle gracias a Dios por algo y darle gracias a Dios en algo.
And so this verse isn't, Paul isn't saying, hey, praise God that I'm in prison, because he's writing this in prison. Praise God because I'm in prison. Thank you, God. No, he's not saying that.
Aquí Pablo en prisión no está diciendo, yo gracias a Dios porque yo estoy en prisión. No, él no está diciendo eso.
He's saying, God, even though I'm in the prison, I'm still going to thank you. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to do all these things because you're worthy of that.
Él dice, Dios, aun cuando yo estoy en la prisión, como quiera yo te voy a dar gracias porque tú mereces eso.
And you want to know you're getting more mature and you're developing your walk with God.
¿Quieres saber que tú estás madurando y estás creciendo en tu relación con Dios?
Is when you stop thanking God for when he does something for you. God, you gave me money. You gave me the promotion. Thank you for doing that. You want to know when you're getting mature?
Es cuando tú paras de darle gracias a Dios, cuando tú agarras lo que tú quieres, cuando tú agarras algo.
Is when you thank God in things. God, in the promotion, thank you. God, in the bad things, thank you.
Tú empiezas a madurar cuando tú le das gracias a Dios en las cosas. Gracias a Dios por en la promoción. Gracias a Dios en la circunstancia.
In the prison, God, thank you. In the shipwreck, God, thank you.
En la prisión, Dios, gracias. En cuando se quebraron las cosas, gracias.
And if any of you,
y si cada uno de ustedes,
if any of you are confused,
si uno de ustedes a lo mejor está confundido,
as to what God's will is for your life, that's probably the biggest question we all try and figure out. What does God want me to do with my life?
Si piensas, ¿qué es la voluntad de Dios para mi vida? Todos nos preguntamos esto.
Pastor, I need a word. Pastor, I need a vision. Pastor, God hasn't spoken. It's right here.
Pastor, yo ocupo una palabra, yo ocupo una visión. Aquí está.
It doesn't get any more clear than this. For this is God's will for you. You don't know what God's will for you in this season? To give him thanks, to pray continually.
Nos dice que es la voluntad de Dios para nuestras vidas. ¿Qué es la voluntad de Dios para tu vida? Para que tú ores sin cesar, para que tú des gracias siempre.
To rejoice always. You don't know what else to do. Do these three things.
Para regocijarte siempre. No sabes qué hacer. Haz estas tres cosas.
And this brings us.
Y esto nos trae.
To our text today.
A nuestro texto hoy.
Where this group.
Donde este grupo.
Of lepers.
De gente con lepra.
Are approaching Jesus.
Se están acercando a Jesús.
Right? And this is a unique story, not only because Luke is the only one that records this story.
Y esta es una historia única, no solamente porque Lucas es el único que escribe esta historia.
But it's also unique because this is the only group, small group healing. Why am I, it's not even up there. This is the only small group healing that's in the Bible where Jesus heals 10 people at once.
Este es el único, la única sanidad de grupo pequeño donde Dios sana a 10 personas a la misma vez.
Right, and I don't know if you know the significance of how severe and how harsh the consequences were for having leprosy back then.
No sé si tú sabes la intensidad de las consecuencias que era para la gente que tenía lepra en ese entonces.
But leprosy was incurable.
Pero la lepra no tenía cura.
The only way you got better from leprosy is if you got a miracle from God.
La única forma que tú te sanabas de la lepra era si tú recibías un milagro de Dios.
Leprosy was highly contagious, so you had to quarantine yourself for the rest of your life.
La lepra era muy contagiosa, entonces tú tenías que aislarte por más de toda tu vida.
You were stripped out of society. You had to live outside the city with other lepers.
Tenías que vivir fuera de la sociedad. Tenías que tú vivir con otros leprosos.
You weren't allowed to have any contact with people that were healed and well.
No te dejaban tener contacto con otra gente que estaba sana, que estaba bien.
All you could do was live in isolation with the few people that also had leprosy.
Todo lo que tú podías hacer es vivir en aislamiento con otra gente que también tenía lepra.
It was a death sentence, right? It was a slow, painful death.
Era una sentencia a la muerte. Era una muerte que era lenta y dolorosa.
And this is why leprosy is a metaphor for sin in the Bible.
Por eso la lepra es un metáforo para el pecado en la Biblia.
Because it didn't matter what race you were, what gender you were.
Porque no importaba tu género, no importaba tu raza.
It didn't matter how much money you had or didn't have. It didn't matter if you were married or single. Leprosy could have affected anyone, and it would have killed anyone.
No importaba si tenías dinero o no. No importaba si estabas casado o no. La lepra podía matar y pegarle a cualquiera.
So in the Bible, right, these lepers, I don't know who decided or who spoke up.
Entonces la Biblia, no sé quién habló, no sé quién le dijo algo.
But one of them is like, hey, guys, I hear about this guy Jesus. I know he does miracles. I know I've heard all these crazy stories of all these healings.
Pero uno de ellos dice, oye, yo he escuchado de Jesús, que él hace todos estos milagros.
We don't have much time left. Who knows how much time we have left? This is our last shot, right? This is the last chance we got of healing, right? If this isn't it, then we're done.
No tenemos tanto tiempo. Esta es nuestra última oportunidad para nosotros poder vivir y estar bien. Si no tenemos esto, estamos mal.
So the Bible says that they stood at a distance, right, trying to keep their distance because they were lepers.
Entonces la Biblia dice que ellos se mantuvieron a una distancia porque eran leprosos.
And the Bible says that at that time Jesus saw them.
Y la Biblia dice que en ese entonces Jesús los vio.
He saw them.
Los vio.
Which is a big deal, right? Because
que es algo grande porque
because even if you don't think that's a big deal for yourself, Jesus, even when you feel isolated, even when you feel distant from people, when all you've surrounded yourself is sick situations and sick people and sick things.
Porque aun cuando te sientes separado de Dios, aun cuando tú te sientes a la distancia de la gente, aun cuando te sientes que estás enfermo, tienes cosas sucediendo en tu vida.
You serve a Savior that sees you in the middle of that, in the middle of the isolation, in the middle of the sickness, in the middle of the bad people.
Tú sirves a un Salvador que te ve en medio de tu aislamiento, él te ve en medio de tus de tu enfermedad, él te ve en medio de tu distancia.
And the Bible says that they all cried out the same chant.
Y la Biblia dice que todos clamaron lo mismo.
A six-word chant saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
Diciendo, Jesús, Maestro, ten misericordia de nosotros.
Jesus,
Jesús,
Master,
Maestro,
have mercy on us.
Ten misericordia de nosotros.
And what stuck out to me about this is you know how desperate these guys were because
y tú sabes que estos muchachos estaban muy desesperados porque
one of the last stages of leprosy affects your vocal cords. It strips you of your voice. You can't talk.
Una de las últimas etapas de la lepra es que te pega y te daña tu voz.
So for them, in their minds, they're thinking, I don't know how much of a voice I have left. I don't know how much time I have left where I'm even going to be able to shout. I'm even going to be able to yell.
Entonces ellos a lo mejor pensaron, no sé qué tanto tiempo tengo todavía para yo poder gritar, para yo poder hablar.
If I don't get Jesus' attention now, I may not have a voice when he walks back.
Si yo no agarro la atención de Jesús en este entonces, en este mismo momento, a lo mejor no tengo voz cuando él se vaya.
There was some desperation in their voice. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
Había desesperación en su voz. Jesús, Maestro, ten misericordia de nosotros.
Six words.
Seis palabras.
Of desperation.
De desesperación.
And what's crazy is in that word, in those words, they never even asked for a healing.
Y lo que es loco es que en esas seis palabras que dijeron, nunca pidieron una sanidad.
They didn't say, Jesus, Master, heal us. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
No dijeron, Jesús, Maestro, sánanos. No dijeron, Jesús, Maestro, ten misericordia de nosotros.
You know you have no entitlement in your heart, in your body, when you're asking for mercy.
Tú sabes que no tienes derecho en tu cuerpo, en tu vida, cuando estás pidiendo misericordia.
When you're asking for mercy, there is no entitlement in your bones, no entitlement in your heart.
Como estás pidiendo misericordia, no hay derecho en tu corazón, en tu mente, en tu cuerpo.
You are asking for mercy. Have mercy on me, God. I don't deserve it. I'm not entitled to anything. Have mercy on me, Jesus.
Está diciendo, Señor, ten misericordia de mí. No merezco nada. No tengo derecho a nada. Ten misericordia de mí.
When you realize that you serve a God that owes you nothing,
cuando te das cuenta que sirves a un Dios que no te debe nada,
you don't deserve anything but hell, and he refuses to give it to you because he's good.
Que no mereces nada más que el infierno, pero él como quiera te da cosas porque él es bueno.
That's mercy.
Eso es misericordia.
Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
Jesús, Maestro, ten misericordia de nosotros.
We've been isolated. We've been living these lives. We don't deserve a healing. Have mercy on us, God.
Hemos estado aislados. No merecemos una sanidad. Ten misericordia de nosotros.
And to those six words, Jesus has his own six-word response to their question.
Y a esas palabras, Jesús tiene su propia respuesta a su pregunta.
Jesus goes, go show yourselves to the priest.
Ve y enséñense en frente de los sacerdotes.
Six words.
Seis palabras.
I would be confused, right?
Yo estaría confundido.
Because if you read Luke chapter 5 at the beginning of this book,
porque si tú lees Lucas 5 al principio de este libro,
Jesus heals another leper by praying for him and puts his hands on him and prays for him and the guy's healed.
Jesús sana a otro leproso al tocarlo, tocar su cuerpo y es sano.
So if I'm reading this, I'd expect Jesus to do the same thing. He's showing the people that, hey, I'm clean, I'm pure, right? When I touch things, they become pure and clean too. Leprosy doesn't affect me.
Entonces ellos a lo mejor esperaban lo mismo. Cuando Jesús tocaba las cosas, cuando Jesús tocaba a algo, era sano, era limpio, no lo afectaba.
Right, it's kind of like if you drop a bar of soap on the floor, does the floor get clean or the bar of soap, right? Jesus is the soap, right?
Jesús es como esa vara de jabón que tú se cae al piso y no solamente porque se cae al piso está sucio, no, Jesús es el jabón, está limpio.
So if I was these 10 guys, I'd expect like a whole line, like an altar call, all right, healed, 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 right, and then you're good.
Entonces yo esperaría yo que Jesús los pusiera enfrente como una administración, un tiempo de altar y los sane uno y uno, está sanado, 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 sanado.
But this time,
pero esta vez,
Jesus doesn't even touch them.
Jesús ni los toca.
The Bible doesn't even say he goes up to them. He just says, go show yourselves to the priests.
La Biblia dice que ni se va, se acerca a ellos. Él solamente dice, ve, enséñense delante de los sacerdotes.
And if I'm these 10 guys, I'm like a little confused because I'm like, you only show yourself to the priest if you've already been healed.
Y si yo fuera uno de estos 10 hombres, yo pensaría, pues solamente te enseñas delante de los sacerdotes si ya estás sano.
Right? If I go back into that city, I still have leprosy, right? I only go show myself to the priest. That was the custom to confirm what's already been healed.
Si yo voy a la ciudad, yo como quiera voy a tener lepra. Yo solamente me voy y enseño delante de los sacerdotes si ya estoy limpio.
But the Bible says something powerful.
Pero la Biblia dice algo poderoso.
It says, as they went,
la Biblia dice que mientras ellos iban,
they were healed.
Eran sanos.
Meaning, they weren't healed before. As they went, as they took action, they were healed.
Significando no era antes, sino mientras ellos tomaron acción, ellos fueron sanados.
I don't know at what point along the journey they were healed. All I know is by the time they got to the priest, they were healed. They were clean. They were delivered.
No sé en qué punto en su jornada ellos fueron sanos, pero en ellos caminando hacia ese lugar, ellos fueron sanos.
Meaning your healing, your blessing, your answer that you're looking for.
Significando que tu sanidad, tu respuesta, la respuesta que tú estás buscando,
is dependent on your obedience.
Depende de tu obediencia.
There's a lot of people in here that are stuck waiting for the healing, and then I'll be obedient to God.
Hay mucha gente que está estancada, que está esperando una sanidad, y luego yo voy a dar gracias.
God, if you give me the job, God, if you give me this, God, if you provide in this certain way, then I'll be obedient to you. Then I'll do what you say.
Dios, si tú me das el trabajo, Dios, si tú provees para mí, si tú me das esto, entonces ya luego Dios, yo estoy agradecido.
Because you feel entitled to get the miracle your way. God, do it my way first, then I'll be obedient to you. You're entitled.
Porque tú sientes un derecho a obtener tu milagro de una cierta forma.
Don't wait to be obedient. You be obedient first, then the healing comes after.
No esperes a recibir tu sanidad. No, sé obediente primero, luego recibirás tu sanidad.
A lot of us are like, God, why haven't you answered this? God, I'm still waiting on this. Have you been obedient? You don't be obedient after. God, you haven't even responded to what God has asked you to do.
Nosotros decimos, Dios, ¿por qué no me has contestado? Dios, ¿por qué no has hecho esto? Pues has sido tú obediente, ni has respondido a lo que Dios ya te ha dicho hacer.
If these guys would have been like, nah, Jesus, I'm not going to go because they're going to make fun of me in the city. I'm not going to, they never would have gotten healed. You have to go, you have to be obedient to get the healing.
Si estos hombres hubieran dicho, no, no voy a ir a la ciudad porque todavía no estoy sano, porque luego la gente se va a reír de mí. No, ellos tenían que tomar acción, tienen que ser obedientes para poder recibirlo.
So a lot of us, especially if you're a Christian in here, God is waiting for your obedience before he heals you.
Dios está esperando tu obediencia antes de sanarte.
You guys can go ahead and stand.
Pueden ponerse sobre sus pies.
And the Bible says that all 10 of them went to the priest and they got healed.
La Biblia dice que los 10 fueron al sacerdote y fueron sanos.
And the Bible says that 9 of them,
y la Biblia dice que 9 de ellos,
returned to their families, returned to their lives.
Regresaron a su familia, regresaron con su familia, regresaron a sus vidas.
And they didn't go back to thank Jesus.
Y no fueron a darle gracias a Jesús.
Now I'm convinced that these 9 guys, they were grateful. They were grateful for the healing. They were grateful for what happened.
Ahora yo estoy convencido que estos 9 hombres sí estaban agradecidos por lo que Dios había hecho.
Perhaps these 9 guys had good things to go back to. They hadn't seen their wife in years. They hadn't seen their kids in years. They had good things to go back to, I'm sure.
Quizás estos 9 hombres tenían cosas buenas a las cuales ellos tenían que regresarse, una familia, hijos, una esposa.
But their lives, their excitement about the miracle kept them from saying thank you to the one who did the miracle.
Pero su emoción sobre este milagro los detuvo de poder dar gracias a quien los dio el milagro.
It's like Osito going right past me just to go to the fries when I'm the one who gives them the fries.
Cuando Osito me rebasa así para poder agarrar las papas fritas, pero yo soy el que le doy las papas fritas.
And so I'm convinced these guys were grateful, but
entonces yo sé que esto, a lo mejor estos hombres estaban agradecidos.
Their excitement blinded them from going back to Jesus, cultivating a relationship with him and saying, thank you, God, for all that you did for me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me.
Pero su emoción sobre el milagro los detuvo de poder darle gracias a Jesús por lo que él había hecho en ellos.
10 were healed, but only 1 went back.
10 fueron sanos, pero solamente uno regresó.
Only 1 went back, and it was a Samaritan, Luke tells us.
Solamente uno regresó y era un samaritano, dice Lucas.
Jews and Samaritans hated each other. It was like, think of like the civil rights, like blacks, whites. That's how much they hated each other back then between the Jews and the Samaritans.
Los judíos y los samaritanos se odiaban entre sí mismos.
We thought segregation was bad in the civil rights movement. The people would go around other cities just to not interact with the Samaritans or interact with the Jews.
Pensábamos que era mal en el movimiento de los derechos civiles, pero la gente en ese entonces, los judíos, ellos tomaban una ruta diferente, ellos tomaban una ruta más larga para poder evitar los samaritanos.
So even more of a reason for this guy to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, I don't deserve the healing, I don't deserve the deliverance.
Más para este hombre poder decir, Dios, ten misericordia de mí, no merezco esta sanidad, yo soy un samaritano, tú eres un judío. No lo merezco.
And I don't know how long it took that guy to go back and find Jesus, right? Jesus is on the move, he's traveling. I don't know how long it took him to find Jesus again to say thank you.
Y no sé qué tanto tiempo él tomó para poder encontrar a Jesús otra vez y darle gracias.
But when he gets there, the Bible says that he falls at Jesus' feet and cries and worships loudly. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for restoring me. Loudly and yelling this to Jesus as he's worshiping him at his feet.
La Biblia dice que él se postró ante los pies de Jesús y él empieza a alabar en voz alta. Gracias, Dios, por lo que él había hecho.
A reminder to us saying, hey, if you're loud in asking God, if you're loud in praising him when you need things, you got to be just as loud when the prayer is answered. You got to be just as loud when the needs is met.
Algo que nos demuestra que si tú eres fuerte en hablar, tú eres fuerte en decirle tu petición y lo que tú quieres, tenemos que estar así o aún más fuertes en alabarle y agradecerle cuando sucede.
Gratitude and thankfulness that is unexpressed is unthankfulness. It's ingratitude.
El agradecimiento que no se expresa es desagradecimiento.
It's received to the recipient, whether that's God or somebody that you love or care about, it's taken as they're not grateful.
Es tomado como no están agradecidos.
And Jesus says to him, were not all 10 healed?
Y Jesús dice, ¿no fueron los 10 sanados?
How come no one's come back to give praise and give thanks to God?
¿Por qué nadie ha regresado a darle gracias a Dios excepto este extranjero?
And Jesus says something very interesting at the end.
Y Jesús dice algo interesante al final.
He tells him, "Your faith has made you well."
Le dice, "Tu fe te ha sanado."
If I'm him, if I'm the Samaritan, I'm like, "Jesus, I'm my skin's healed. I'm already well."
Si yo fuese ese samaritano, yo digo, "Pues mi piel está bien, ya estoy sanado."
Right, but the word here, if you translate to the Greek, it means saved. It means you are made whole. You are better, not only at the external side, the skin, the leprosy's gone.
Pero así, si tú traduces esta palabra del griego, significa que tú eres salvo. No solamente ahora está tu exterior sano.
He's saying, Samaritan, dude, your inside is saved, right? Inside, it's made whole. Inside, you are complete now. 10 were healed, but only one was saved.
Él está diciendo, ahora también tu interior está completo. Ahora también tu interior es sano. 10 fueron sanados, pero solamente uno fue salvo.
So it's possible, right, for all of you guys to hear God's voice, experience these miracles, have these amazing experiences down here at the altar and in services.
Entonces, ¿es posible tú tener una experiencia hermosa y gloriosa aquí en los altares, en las bancas?
But still not be well.
Pero como quiera no estar bien, no estar sano.
Still not be grateful.
Pero todavía no estar agradecido.
And I'm not saying that you're not saved, but you're not well.
Y no estoy diciendo que no eres salvo, pero no estás sanado.
You're still not responsive and obedient. You still don't find God worthy enough to go back to say thank you.
Todavía no has ido de regreso a darle gracias a Dios.
So as we close tonight,
entonces mientras nosotros cerramos esta noche,
as y'all bow your heads and close your eyes,
mientras inclinan su rostro y cierran sus ojos,
unexpressed gratitude,
la gratitud que no es expresada,
is ingratitude,
no es agradecimiento.
This isn't about style.
Esto no se trata de estilo.
This isn't about how I'm gonna look.
No se trata de cómo me voy a ver.
You not give, and I know some people are more shy than others.
Sé que unos son más tímidos que otros.
Heads bowed, eyes closed.
Rostros inclinados, ojos cerrados.
If you do not at some point verbally express to God gratitude and thanksgiving,
si tú en algún punto nunca expresas a Dios verbalmente gratitud y agradecimiento,
it's ingratitude.
No es agradecimiento.
If you have taken what God does so consistently in your life,
si tú has tomado lo que Dios ha hecho tan constante en tu vida,
for granted, if you feel entitled to some of the consistent things in your life,
si tú te sientes como que tú tienes un derecho a las cosas que son constantes en tu vida,
there needs to be verbal appreciation, verbal expression of thanksgiving.
Hay que ver agradecimiento verbal, expresión verbal de tu agradecimiento.
And this is what this altar call is for.
Y para esto es este tiempo de altar.
It's saying, God, I can say it all I want in my mind, but I need to verbally express to you thanksgiving. I need to verbally express to you gratitude.
Decir, Dios, yo puedo darte gracias en mi mente, pero tengo que ahora darte verbalmente mi gratitud, mi agradecimiento.
God, I've taken for granted the fact that I get to choose my next meal, not choosing if I'll eat next time.
Dios, he tomado en vano las cosas que son cotidianas, que yo puedo comer, que me voy a levantar.
I have taken for granted your consistent forgiveness, your consistent goodness, your consistent protection.
Tu constante bondad, tu constante protección, tu constante perdón.
God, if you need to ask for forgiveness, God, I haven't found you worthy enough to go back and say thank you.
Dios, si yo he recibido tu perdón, como quiera yo no te he visto merecedor de mi agradecimiento.
If you're like, God, I just don't want to be healed. I just don't want you to meet the need. I want to be made well.
Si tú dices, Dios, no solamente quiero que tú me sanes físicamente, no solamente quiero que tú cumplas la necesidad, pero yo quiero estar sano completamente.
Then this altar calls for you.
Entonces este tiempo de altar es para ti.
If you're like God,
si tú dices, Dios,
I have been putting off my obedience to you.
Yo no he obedecido de la forma que yo debería de ser.
Because I've been too stubborn and entitled to wait for you to answer my prayer, wait for you to answer my request before I'm obedient.
Porque yo he sido tan terco en esperar que tú contestes mi petición antes de yo ser obediente.
Then this altar calls for you.
Entonces este tiempo de administración es para
ti. I want to invite you up here to come pray. We want to pray for you. This isn't again about style. There needs to be a verbal expression of gratitude for God, a verbal expression of gratefulness towards God of what He's done, a verbal expression of His consistency.
quiero invitarte a este altar para que tú vengas y tú hables con Dios, porque tiene que haber una expresión verbal de tu agradecimiento.
So God, I lift up these youth, and you guys are more than welcome to start coming up if you feel led to come up. Lord God, I pray for these youth, God. I pray, God, that you would speak to them. I pray, God, that as they are more and more aware of your consistency, your consistent character, your consistent goodness, your consistent provision, how you're consistent, how you let them wake up each and every day, because you say that every day is a gift, that Lord God, your mercies are new every day. If we take your consistency for granted, God, I pray that, Lord, we would not grow more and more entitled, but Lord God, we take time to thank you for those things. God, if we have put off being obedient to you because we're waiting for the miracle, because we feel entitled to the miracle, we feel entitled to the blessing, then God, first off, forgive us. Second off, God, help us to be verbally expressive and be obedient first before the miracle happens. God, there's some of us in here that, Lord God, have grown stubborn. I'm speaking to myself as well, that Lord God, we expect you to fill us with joy before gratitude. Yes, God, I'm gonna thank you for those things once you do it. Yes, God, I'm gonna thank you for those things once they happen. Yes, God, I'm gonna start tithing once I get the money. God, I'm gonna be obedient. I'm gonna start responding. I'm gonna start being grateful once the joy happens. But God, help us to understand through your spirit that, Lord God, it's gratitude that comes first. It's thankfulness that comes first. It's thankfulness, God, that gets us through the gate. It's gratitude that gets us up to the door. God, help us to understand that it's gratitude that comes first, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard for us to see that, God, you want to start moving in our lives. But first, it starts with gratitude. Gratitude isn't a result. It's one of the things that we need to get the results, God. So I pray that you'd help our youth understand that. Help our youth understand, God, that as they mature, that, God, they wouldn't just give you praise for things. They'd give you praise and thanks in the middle of things, in spite of certain things happening around in their life, in spite of situations, in spite of seasons, in spite of circumstances, God, in the middle of things, that, Lord, we'd graduate from that elementary way of giving praise and thanks just because you did something or because you answered a prayer. God, help our youth mature and develop that, God, we're going to give you praise in the prison. We're going to give you praise in the shipwreck. God, we're going to give you praise in the middle of a tough situation, in the middle of a divorce, in the middle of a breakup, in the middle of a firing, in the middle of a downsizing, in the middle of my car breaking down, in the middle of getting rejected, in the middle of all these things, I'm going to give you thanks, God. So God, we ask that you would pour out your spirit. God, I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would challenge us. And God, help us to understand, God, more than ever, because I know a lot of us are shy, a lot of us are still growing, that God, we need to verbally express our gratitude. Not just be loud when we need something, not just fast and pray when we need something, but God, we'd be just as loud in saying thank you and as we are when we ask for the request. Just as loud, God, in praising you and thanking for what you did as much as we're praising you for what you're gonna do. So God, I thank you for everything that you've spoken tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you, God, for this story that you shared through Dr. Luke. God, I pray that you would seal it in our hearts, God. Move in our youth, I ask. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In your name I pray. Amen.